Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Glad to have you in here. Tonight, we got a special program for you. We're going to talk about the trouble around the different areas of our nation, our nation's plight that we find ourselves in today. And we're going to talk about the deep sea troubles that are out in the Gulf. Joining me tonight is the elders of the House of Yahweh. And Dr. Garrett's got a special treat for you. Dr. Garrett's with me tonight here. And we're going to get involved in some of the discussions of what's going on in the Gulf. Dr. Gary, we know that there is trouble because millions and millions of gallons have been dispersed into the Gulf of Mexico, and we know that they're spraying a special solution to dissolve it. We don't know that it's working. They're trying, it looked like vain attempts, they tried to cap it. But we're also going to discuss, brothers, tonight about whether they are actually trying to cap it or if they're trying to fix some device to capture the oil by letting millions of gallons spill into the Gulf so that they can capture the remaining oil and sell it at a profitable price to offset some of the damage that's done in the well. Dr. Gary, you've got some information relating to that subject of the type of fluid. I believe you told me that it was now penetrating even into the fish or the substances, even in human bodies. If they were exposed to it, it would take additional chemicals, which is not good, just to remove it. We're going to get your comment on that, Dr. Gary, and then we're going to pass it around to the brothers and let them expound on it.
Good evening, everybody. I saw a little video the other night that actually showed one of the local channels down in the south of the southern part of the United States. They actually went in to the water under the emulsified oil, and one of the people that was on the expedition was the grandson of Jacques Cousteau, and they said that this emulsion has actually separated the oil into molecular structure, and now not only might it coat everything, but actually go in the pores of living organisms in the sea. And several divers went down and just could not believe the massive clouds of emulsified oil that were hanging like dark clouds above them, hanging just under the edge of the water. And they both related to the TV cameras that they had never in their life had ever seen anything like this before.
Well, Dr. Gary, you know, by their attempts, I mean, we're talking about the 21st century here, technology. Are they bringing, you feel like, are they bringing all to bear of technology? I know that the Obama administration has been strangely vacant from, they said that they were going to bring all of their tools to the table, and so far, no military assistance, no technology assistance, vain attempts. Everything they've tried has failed. Is this by design, or are they really sincerely attempting to cap it?
No, I haven't seen anything that remotely appears to be in a real positive nature. One of the articles I read actually stated that most of these attempts were tried many, many years ago unsuccessfully, and now they're trying them again unsuccessfully. I guess we have to go back and actually look into the history of British Petroleum and see who actually owns the British Petroleum. And from what I have read, it goes back to, once again, to Mr. Rothschild.
Okay. All right, that's what I thought. We have an authority on the legal aspects of that. Brother John here, I'd like for you to comment basically on the legality of what's going on. What do you see in the consequences down the road as for the future? I know there's going to be litigation. I know there's going to be damage. I know that they're going to bring lawsuits. What do you foresee in this jungle mess that we're creating in the Gulf?
Well, I would offer this. Based on what the government has done recently in the financial sector, basically to a certain extent bailing out all these failed institutions like Goldman Sachs and AIG and other insurance firms and banking firms, the government may step in this case also, and basically limit the amount of liability and take over the oil companies themselves, or at least more heavily regulated. Obviously, there was no regulation going on here, and so through the heavy regulation, basically step by step, almost lockstep, even though this country has been on its way pretty steady over the last 50 years, ever since the end of World War II, we are becoming a strictly fascist nation. Basically a fascist nation is a partnership between the government and big business. Now, you have to keep in mind that the government is a business. It's a corporation. The corporation known as the United States of America was actually incorporated in 1871, shortly after the Civil War, and basically they've been operating under that mode ever since. Now, there's many, many proofs of that fact, obviously, so that when you ever go into court and say, I got the Constitution protecting me, no, you don't. You're in a federal court. You are in a corporate court. They're there to collect the money only. But anyway, back to my point here is that even though I don't know, it's a strong possibility based on what the government did over the last year or so with the financial institutions, they probably will take over the oil industry, at least in the United States of America, to a certain extent, basically owning the oil industry like the government owns the financial industry right now.
Thank you, Brother John. Bard, you're involved in the chemical end of the business world, and you know how the EPA regulates what you can and cannot do with chemicals. The question is, why is it that they are allowed to disperse chemicals that Dr. Gary said would eventually cause irreparable harm to the environment, and we don't know what the future holds and how much damage it's going to cause? Would you care to comment on the chemical side of the equation?
Well, just like I said Saturday night, you know, people are real dumb, and when they look up in the sky and see all these streaks where these jets went by, they say, oh, man, that's a lot of airline activity. Well, it's not. It's a spray that they're spraying on us to keep us sick, going to hospitals so we can spend our money and we don't have money for food and stuff like that. But now I think they've come up with a better plan. This emulsified chemical that they're spraying down there to try to stop that oil from coming out is even more lethal than the stuff they're putting in the sky, because when that stuff comes out of the water and evaporates up into the sky and the clouds, and then it's blowing over central United States, and then it rains, it'll be like acid rain killing plants and animals and people. So, you know, it looks like it's just a great deal. You know, in the Bible, there's a passage, I'm not sure exactly where it is, but I know it's there, that says the oceans will turn red. And if any of you part people have seen this on TV, you know that there's a reddish color to the water when they show you these oil slicks. So you know, we're in the end times, and it's coming down, and the satanic people are helping us right along, and we're going to get our reward if we don't know Yahweh, and it just breaks my heart to think that there's just too many part people out there in this world. So you better get out of that mode and get smart and do some studying and learn what's really going on in this world, or your ass is grass. Thank you, Pastor Buddy.
Thank you, Gary. Wayne, you've been involved in water quality for many years in your profession. Could you comment on the marine life? We already know that there is a large loss of marine life, and like Dr. Gary was stating earlier, we do not know the hazards and the potential of harm to the live organisms. I mean, if like the flora and the water quality, the fish and mammals that swim in the Gulf, and it's one of the rich marine life areas of the coastal area of the United States, what do you foresee if this goes on at the rate that they are polluting the waters in the Gulf, and eventually it's going to get in the Gulf Stream, and they say the potential hazard would be to the entire East Coast and probably up into the North Atlantic, where we get our fresh salmon and cod and things of this nature, could potentially, as Gary has said here, it could prove deadly to our oceans. The Bible speaks, as Gary has said, about the oceans turning red and things dying in the sea. Are we living in times of fulfillment of that biblical prophecy?
Pastor, I've been in this industry 27 years, and I feel it's very an accelerated level. The government sets what they call MCLs, maximum contaminant levels, for water quality. And they found these 2,380 contaminants on their hit list that they would like to remove, but there's now regulations set for 63. And that's probably over the past 15 years. It'll be the next 100 years before they ever regulate them all. And my personal educated feeling is the regulations are meaningless, totally meaningless. For example, he mentioned mammals. We people are mammals. We don't think of the fish and so forth and the very same things, but they have the same lifestyle, if you will, or body makeup, chemical makeup. And if it bothers you, you can believe it's bothering them. And we're polluting and polluting and polluting. The MCL on arsenic, for example, has been changed and changed and changed. New standards is 5 parts per billion. There's no city, no regulated city in the world that can meet that standard. They don't have the money. They're just not going to do it. If it's there, they're stuck with it. How much more so for the pollution that we're dumping into the waterways? As you've heard, the Bible describes the water becoming blood red. Red with blood is what it says, actually. Does that mean that all of these animals are going to die? Specifically, 1 quart of oil, just a quart of oil on your shelf in your garage, can contaminate to the extent of killing all life in 250,000 gallons. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot in the ocean or the Gulf, but that's 1 quart. This thing spewing out millions of barrels?
Yeah.
Millions of barrels. Multiply that in quarts, break it down, do the math, and think of all these poor animals and so forth. as they die, does it turn blood red? Makes sense to me. We're in an accelerated... We're just losing our country. There's no question about the end times. If I picked up a comic book, let's say you don't believe in the Bible at all, or the word of Yahweh. If you don't believe in that at all, and you picked up a comic book from when you were a kid, and it said on such and such your 50th birthday, for example, that you were going to be watching a football game, and on your 50th birthday you were watching a football game, you'd have some sort of new respect for that comic book. Now let's put that in context with the Bible, written many, many years ago. But here's this philosophy, prophecy, and so forth, that you can see today coming to being. It has to make sense to you. Reason, logic, and common sense. Just study into it. You don't have to agree or disagree, but you do have to agree to at least check it out. Then make an intelligent decision based on your study. Nobody's saying agree with me or anybody else here, or disagree. But reason, logic, and common sense would mandate that you at least check it out. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, J.W. And Dr. Gary, you were showing us a video this morning. We were watching it on YouTube. People can go to YouTube and find this very video. And, of course, there's self-love to like it. And for years, we've been hearing about concentration camps, FEMA camps, Homeland Security, secured areas, the Denver airport, the port of import for foreign troops. You know, Dr. Gary, I want you to explain to the people what we saw this morning. And this is just one example, and we could cite several. But tell the people what we saw this morning.
We went on a video off of YouTube, and it basically showed a young man that Googled the Air Force base outside of Jacksonville, Florida. And as he zeroed in, you could literally see thousands of UN painted vehicles lined up. I think he mentioned that there were probably between 4,000 and 5,000 of this one particular painted UN vehicle. I think they called it the paddy wagons that are just sitting there. And I don't know if that Air Force base has been closed or not, but literally thousands upon thousands of vehicles were there waiting just, I guess, for the go order. And there was some mentioned also that they might even use this as a start to relocate the people in Florida as a result of this oil spill. You know, they say that nothing ever happens by accident in this world anymore, that there is a planned reason for everything that happens. And if this oil tragedy was set in motion to do what it's going to do, so that they can, under the cover of a disaster emergency, move everyone out of Florida, then they have set the wheels in motion without firing a shot. So that's what we have to deal with. Everyone can go to the Air Force Base on Google Earth. Go ahead and look at the Air Force Base and go all the way in, and you can literally see thousands upon thousands of UN paddy wagons. They also showed a freight line that had come in where there are literally hundreds of railroad cars also waiting to go out at the given order. So this is something we need to be diligent about, looking at the evidence. economy is getting the rock bottom, and then all of a sudden with the weather, the disasters in the weather, with the droughts, the floods, the snow in one place, flood in another place, everything is just coming on now with a disaster in the Gulf. The money system is dropping like a rock. They say that one Alpha report has maintained that the gasoline will indeed double in price before the end of the year. I mean, there are just too many coincidental things happening at one time that may well tell us what's ahead.
Well, Dr. Gary, that's a good point that you just brought up. If there is an increase in the price of gas, and they're delaying, could that be tied in with maybe, like you say, nothing happens by accident in this world anymore? Most of it's planned. And if the other oil companies agree to hike the price of oil, then they're going to reap through this excuse maybe for the oil that they're losing in the Gulf just out of one well. And this must be a master well that they have dug out there. And you mentioned at the onset of the show about maybe they particularly want to, instead of trying to cap it off or block it, where they would have to go to the enormous expense of re-drilling it, that they're trying to capture the oil in some container and separate it. Now, I understand that the process of separating water and oil is quite simple, and that they've had this technology for quite a while. So by the fact that they could legally, I guess justifiably, say that since they've lost so much oil in the Gulf and they're going to have to spend so much money to get it up or to clean it up, which will never happen, we know that. I read a report this afternoon in research that that the marshlands are now probably going to be affected for at least 50 to 75 years, and they, you know how fragile the system is already. And John, let me ask you, you've been from Chicago, an area of the Obama mafia. You know, that's a common thing that most of Obama's people that he's got surrounding came out of the area of Chicago. Could you comment just about what you think maybe that the plans are? Like Dr. Gary said, nothing designed other than what they planned. In reality, we're reaping, I believe, what we've sowed here. We've elected someone that Gary said was a socialist and a communist, and are we headed for trouble in that area?
Well, needless to say that President Obama was certainly planned upon by the people that run the system. He came out of nowhere and was elected to the Senate in Illinois as a representative of Illinois as a United States Senator. At the time, they put a man against him. His last name was Ryan. And, of course, conveniently, there was some controversy concerning his sexual doings, and therefore he was quickly eliminated as any legitimate challenge to his Senate run when he was in Illinois. Then at one time they actually even approached Mike Ditka to have him run as the Republican candidate against him. And whether it's true or not, I'm of the opinion that when Mike Ditka was approached, some other people approached him at the same time and said, "Mr. Ditka, do not run against him." Why would I say that? First of all, Mike Ditka is a tremendous icon in the Chicagoland area and in Illinois. He would have certainly been elected over Obama, hands down, no doubts about that. So whatever the reason being, I'm of the opinion that Ditka was told not to run against him, not to be the Republican candidate. And therefore, then they brought in, I believe it was Alan Keyes to run against him, and of course, Obama was elected as a senator from the state of Illinois for the United States Senate. Then after 2 short years, this man who had practically no political experience at all, no experience at all in world affairs, no experience at all doing anything, he was put in there to run as the President of the United States. It was rather strange that this had happened before. You may recall that at one time Arnold Schwarzenegger came on the Jay Leno show, and conveniently Jay Leno asked him, well, are you going to run against the governor of California in the recall election? And Arnold said yes, and of course the rest is history. Arnold Schwarzenegger now is the governor of the state of California. Now, this happened on the Jay Leno show. I bring that to mind because they had Senator Obama on the Jay Leno show, and Jay Leno asked him conveniently, well, tell us now, are you going to run for the presidency? And I believe that's where Obama actually announced his run for the presidency of the United States on the Jay Leno show. Anyway, he was quickly elected, and many of the people that served in the Clinton administration, Obama certainly got into his administration. Now, one of his main chief advisors for Obama is Rahm Emanuel. He is a Israelite. I think there's records showing that at least his father was a member of the Mossad. This man, Rahm Emanuel, is certainly pro-Israel all the way. Yes, he does have citizenship in 2 countries. And anyway, that's what you see on the surface. There's lots of stories saying that Obama was certainly connected with the Communist Party in the state of Illinois. You know, as far as I've known, he has never actually confessed to be a Christian or backing the Christian values of the United States. The last thing I heard recently was that they usually have a day of prayer in May. This has been a tradition for about 20 years now. Anyway, he refused to participate in the day of prayer. This is a Christian type function, and he refused to participate in the day of prayer. However, earlier this year, he invited all sorts of Muslims onto the White House lawn, and they had their day of prayer right on the White House lawn. So basically, what it comes down to is that Obama was certainly planted in there. Whatever he does, he's told to do whatever he does. And so far, he's been pretty obedient in doing that. And however, if he ever gets out of line, I guess I'm going to say this for his own sake, you better do what they say, Mr. Obama. Otherwise, you may not like the consequences. Anyway, basically, this is planned, I think, by the people that be, the powers that are in control, and basically, perhaps with the tremendous increase in gas prices, I'm surprised that they haven't increased already. Maybe they're just waiting to pull the plug on this. With the tremendous unemployment that there is in the country, you know, they keep saying, oh, the unemployment's only 10%. We know for sure it's at least 20%. And, of course, in some depressed areas like Detroit, it's probably 50% or more. With the summer coming up and all these people being out of work, perhaps this is the last straw that they figured they needed to actually push this country into some sort of a controlled martial law type situation. Anyway, like Pastor was saying, nothing ever happens by accident, and of course he was just quoting FDR. He said that way back in the 30s and 40s when FDR made this famous quote, if it happened politics, you know for sure it wasn't an accident. We had planned it that way. Anyway, Pastor Buddy, back to you.
I thank you, Brother Don. You know, Bard, you touched on something there just a while ago about chemtrails. And most people, I think you related to this in your, but you didn't dwell on it quite long enough. I wish you had expounded a little bit longer on it. The fact that most people look up, they think it's a jet trail instead of a contrail. And the problem is that somebody's paying, and we have evidence. All you have to do is go online, and you can and just type in chemtrails, sprayed by tankers, large tankers, most of them contracted through independent contractors so that the military probably wouldn't get any blame for it. However, I want you to comment a little bit more on the chemtrails and its effect to the groin. Dr. Gary has some information, and we'll get him to comment just in a minute also, that it's affecting through aluminum and other particles in the chemtrails by dissecting the ingredients and analyzing it through chemistry, that we've got a major problem over our head, and somebody is spraying it on top of us.
Well, all you have to do is look up in the air, and when you see a jet going across the sky, if the tail dissipates as it moves, then you know that's a jetliner. If it stays all the way across the sky, prepare yourself. Start breathing deeply so you can get all this aluminum and blood spores and all these chemicals that's in those chemtrails. I also have been told that these are private contractors in these freighters flying these things, and that they're Russian pilots, so they have no liability. If it was American pilots, they'd be committing treason on the American people. So there you are, you know, you hard people. I just love it. You know, people are real dumb. Most people are too damn lazy to help themselves, you know. People ought to be going to the grocery store and buying. They need two cans of beans, they ought to buy four. Then they ought to eat them and keep rotating them, because one of these days, people are going to be still and killing for food and water. And if you're not prepared, my friends, maybe you've had a good life and it's all over. But it's just a sad situation, and we're in harm's way, and we are in the end times, and our Heavenly Father Yahweh will be back one of these days to clarify everything. And I can't hardly wait. That's going to be the best day of my life. Here you are, Pastor Buddy.
Dr. Gary, me and you have said it a little bit in this matter. We keep up with the metals and the money situation somewhat. There is a prediction by some outstanding experts that we trust that are predicting that we could face here in a few days, a few weeks, or maybe a few months, that there's a high probability we're headed for a devaluation of our currency.
Yes, there have been many people say that the United States needed to reevaluate their money system, or essentially devaluate their money system, because the demand from foreign countries think that it is certainly it's valued too high. And as of late, most people would say the reason that the gold value has gone up is not the fact that it's worth any more, it's the fact that once again our monetary system is worth that much less. Several predictions have been, of course, no one really knows, and I certainly wouldn't want to try to put any money on the fact of when the devaluation might come, but just today I heard rumors that it could well be before the end of July. Anytime in there, there would be a banking holiday, of course, and you might have an opportunity to go to your bank after a 3 or 4 day closure and turn your money in, and it would be worth 1/3 of what it used to be. Some people have said 1/3 would be a good figure, but some have also said it could be 1 for 5 or even greater than that. So, but they all also said that if they did that, they would also have to reevaluate the, say, if you owed so much on an automobile and they devalued your money by 2/3, then they would also devalue your loan amount also. But that would certainly lead to tremendous inflation where goods and, well, probably just goods would be worth, say, your gold would go through the roof, and your gasoline would also go through the roof. So it's that's a distinct possibility that we face in the very near future. Now, Lindsay Williams has made the statement that by an oil insider that that the gasoline price will double, but be between $6 and $8 per gallon by the end of the year. So this in effect, he also said there would be plenty of food in the stores, but not enough money to buy it. Most people are really having to stretch their dollars for the gas at the price it is. If they doubled the price, it would just be a tremendous burden on most families.
Okay. Wayne, your comment now on the monetary system, since we're on this subject.
Okay, Brother Wayne, we're back here. We temporarily was disconnected by our own using two systems of dialing in. Yeah. And we just getting back on here. We were talking about the financial system. Dr. Gary was commenting that there's a strong possibility of devaluation. Now, you know some of the things in your field is the legal aspects of legal tender here. Doc mentioned silver and gold and gasoline going through the roof. I believe we're being set up through this oil spill deliberately. We know that they've got technology that can cap a well. And although it's 5,000 feet down, they've given excuses that it's hard to do. However, we do think that by delaying this, it would be more justifiable for driving up the price of gasoline. We've seen gasoline go to $5 a couple of years ago, and the result was drop in commerce. Trucking companies couldn't afford to deliver goods. People couldn't afford to buy them off the shelf, like Dr. Gary said. And also, we've had a tremendous amount of pressure from foreign countries to get our house in order. I'd like for you to comment on the pressures of the dollar exchange versus a foreign currency.
Thank you, Pastor. What I'd like everybody to do out there in Radio Land is reach into their pocket or purse and pull out some money, what you call money. The paper bills, if you look at it, just simply pull out a 1 and a 20 or a 50 or whatever and take a look at it. Substance-wise, a sheet of notebook paper has a lot more value. Think about something very carefully. I want you to think about this honestly. What's the difference between the $50 bill and the $1 bill? The numbers on it? Same size piece of paper, same amount of ink, same everything. Across the top, it doesn't say $50 or $1. It says Federal Reserve Note. Now let me ask you, and think carefully, what is a note? A promise to pay. One of the indicia, one of the qualities to make a note, is the quality of redeemability. The reason, and this is Title 12 of the United States Code, the reason, if you go to a candy store and you take these two bills and you say, I want a bag of candy, ever how many pieces of candy you'll give me for the $1 and ever how many you'll give me for the 50, think carefully, why will that clerk give you more of his substance for the 50 than the one? The reason is, and it's called in court, it's called a legal fiction. It's a state of mind. The reason he'll give you more of his candy or beans or whatever you're buying is he is confident. And confidence is a fiction. It's a state of mind. He is confident that his wholesale supplier will give him more of his substance for the 50 than the one. When that confidence is gone, we're going to collapse. The note is the reason that what the difference is between the 50 or the 20 and the 1 is it used to represent a little bigger stack of gold or silver, and you could go to the bank or the money changers in biblical times and get a little bigger stack of gold or silver for the 20 versus the 1. That has been taken away. When they took us off the gold standard, we now have a de facto debased currency. It's got to make sense to you. All these notes, billions and billions. They talk about the national debt. I want you to know that's not a debt that we owe somebody. This is the richest country ever was. Everybody thinks we're in debt this way. What that is all the billions and trillions of unredeemed notes. You can't take a note to a bank and say, give me some gold or silver. They'll give you another note. That's all. Another thing along that same avenue, another thought of that, the FDIC insures your savings. Now, the economy's getting worse and worse, but there's a lot of people with $100,000 in their savings. And they think that it's insured. Bank robbery, collapse, whatever. Their savings is insured to $100,000. Go into the manager and ask him. Look him in the eye. Watch his eyes. Because he's going to lie to you or he's not going to know. Okay? Ask him, if the bank crashed today, when would I get my $100,000? I don't believe there's one person listening to me tonight that really thinks if there was a collapse of a big bank, National Bank of Detroit, Chase Bank, up there in Michigan where I'm from, if that bank crashed, there's no insurance company in the world that has enough money to pay everybody instantly. Part of the FDIC, and you can look it up, they have 30 years to pay you back. It's always been that way. Since 1963, it has been that way. Plain and simple. So be careful, people. Be careful where you put your money. Watch what you're doing. I want to touch base on another thing that was mentioned about the chemtrails and so forth. I'm an expert in constitutional law, but more than that, water purification and so forth. Water is one of two things, and I'm going to tie this into the money system. There are only two things known to man. And this is simple science, easy to verify. Two things that man has discovered that's totally indestructible. One is gold. The other one is water. I can freeze water. I can boil it. I can cook it. I can mix it into chicken soup. But I can separate it from all those other chemicals, minerals, elements, the whole shot, and it'll return to H2O. The water that you're drinking is the water Yahweh made on this planet in its origin. Not one drop has ever left the atmosphere. Earth is a big distiller. Sun heats it. Water goes up. As it gets distant, it cools and condenses, falls back down in precipitation, rain, snow, and whatnot. The water you're drinking is the urine of the ancient dinosaurs. That might sound bad, but it's absolutely true. Now add this element into it and think about it. There are more pollutants now than Yahweh ever intended for his natural distillation process to clean. We have more and more pollutants, more and more illnesses because of it, etc. Now just think about that. You really, truly are drinking. And this is not unusual. There's science to remove this. Think of the space shuttle. Think of nuclear submarines. They can stay under the water for 6 months. What are they drinking? They're desalinating the ocean. You know, they don't have big, they're not hooked to a hose. They don't have big tanks and whatnot full of water. They're drinking their urine over and over and over through processes designed to clean it. But it's high tech and it's slow and it's expensive. The Earth as a distiller is being polluted more and more and more. All these chemtrails and everything else, just think about it. Water goes up, they load up the water vapor with materials. We are hurting, folks, and it's time to turn back to Yahweh and to study these things. That's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Dr. Gary Wayne was talking about, and you're, and then he got into the silver and gold, and that's some of your expertise. I'd like to just have you to comment exactly what is happening in the confidence of the stock market. It looks like to me that more and more people are demanding, like Wayne said, they want just weights and measures, which means that more and more people are turning to the real deal, which is metals, and demanding to receive those shipments. In the past, I understand that certificates were made in place of the bulky, weighty metals, and so people would trade in certificates. I want you to tell us what is on the horizon that is fixing to be exposed in the near future about the certificates of worth added to a piece of paper as a result of not taking delivery on the real metals that they purchase.
It's a well-known fact that for many, many years, the amount of silver production has been just a fractional amount of the total silver in the world, and with commercial uses, it makes it very, very difficult to have any kind of silver reserve whatsoever. So you can basically say now for many, many years, commercially, all the silver produced in 1 year has been used in 1 year. Now, there were some reports recently in the silver market that has basically been kept very low by short selling of the in the silver market, and now all of that is being exposed. And they say if you have 100 contracts out in the market that haven't been delivered to the buyer, when all of it is said and done, one person out of those 100 contracts will be getting the metal. So you can see drastically that it's a Ponzi scheme that's been working very well. Now with exposure, many people in foreign countries, especially the European Union, who for a long time were sitting in a very, very fine position because the euro went from 70, a figure of 70 against the dollar, and it went all the way up to 100 to $1.50 worth the dollar, and the dollar now is sitting around 80. So now that Greece and Italy and Ireland, the UK are on the verge of collapse, now they're saying the euro is you need to get out of the euro as fast as possible, or you're probably going to lose everything you can. And it's become such a hot topic, that all the coin dealers over in the European Union and places like that are having very, very hard times even getting the metal coins to sell their prospective buyers. So this is a situation that is also happening inside the United States. There's not enough silver and gold to even go around for every person that would be able, that would want some gold or silver in their portfolio. But people have always thought that it was a good place to own the certificate. But now, if they're short on actual delivery money, delivery gold and silver, then people are going to start demanding their product. And if that happens, we're in a real bad situation. And that's when they say gold could go to $5,000 or $6,000 if every dollar or every unit of money had to be backed by gold in the world. You're looking at over $50,000 an ounce. So it's becoming a very, very tight topic, and by the end of the year, there's no telling where gold and silver could be.
Well, you know, by the standard of, like you say, the Ponzi scheme, that reminds me of Mr. Maiden. Madoff, I guess his name was, and he's in prison now for his scheme. And what you're saying, on a larger scale, there's been a scheme going to write metal certificates with no delivery, and they're taking the real deal and hiding somewhere in a vault like Mr. Madoff was. And so somebody, I believe you gave that figure, was that 1 out of 100? Now, that's amazing, Brother John. You know the legal implications of that. A lot of people are going to be upset. But with the devaluation potential of people losing faith in the stock market, especially the dollar and the euro, which is the standard world currency, and Wayne has discussed about it's a promissory note of no value. He gave you an illustration of one George Washington to one Ben Franklin. It's just a piece of paper with a figure on it as a debt. It's a note of promissory secure debt. And the debt is made against the American people. Every time that one of these is printed, there has to be an equal value of real goods taken from this country. So somebody has laughed all the way to the bank, and I think we know who it is. So, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to four experts in these areas that we've covered, from the Gulf of Mexico to the quality of the water and to the metals and to the legal implications of who's causing these problems in the world. Now, in the last days, the Bible speaks in Jeremiah chapter 30, and for you that know who Jacob Israel is, you know that there's times coming for you, hard times. We're talking about hard times. They have a plan to imprison. The Bible said some will be in prison. That's Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. I'd like you to read it and to examine the language of that particular scripture. Remember, Jeremiah is the one that brought, we understand, the king's daughters, the royal priest, out of Israel and brought them into the British Isles, where we now have the house of Israel scattered abroad. And so tonight, read Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Remember, we're in a time of trouble such as never has been seen, and the Bible identifies it strictly as Jacob's trouble. Nobody else in trouble. The Bible says that when he returns, that the rest of the world, Jacob will be in trouble, but will be delivered, finally, at the last hour, as it was in the days of Noah, but that the rest of the world will be eating and drinking and being merry. Well, at the expense of the blind, dumb sheep, as Bard said, people are real dumb. And Bard wears that on his scalp to illustrate the example that
sheep are dumb. I mean, really, we have to be classified in there. But more and more people in the last days are waking up. So we hope tonight that we have give you some insight into the possibilities that lay out here in the future for you. We're sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary. Of course, he's with us tonight. And Brother Paul up in the great state of Michigan and others who sponsor Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you in here with us. Join us live. You can call us tonight, area code 423-626-2172. Now, that's my home office number. Well, we'll take a message there. But if you'd like to reach us live and in person, any one of the experts that's been talking about it, you can call this number. It is area code 423-338-1972. And if you'd like to write me, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Part, if you got something to say here, you can take us off. I think you got about a minute.
You know, I was just thinking, Pastor Buddy, it's almost been 80 years since the Depression, 29. So there's not very many people around that can remember something like that. So most people that's listening to this broadcast have no idea about hard times because they've been living, maybe it was tough when they was growing up, but they've bettered themselves and they've tried to do better for their kids and so on, just like we all have. But I'm telling you, if you don't prepare and if you don't get it straight with Yahweh, you're going to be a lost soul. So Yahweh bless you all, and good night.
Yahweh bless you. All right, thank you, brethren, for sitting in. If you'd like to call us, remember the number, 423-338-1972. We'll see you tomorrow night on the late call about 11 p.m., Eastern Standard Time with the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy worldwide. We love you.